Let us pray. Oh God, you know that we are set in the midst of so many dangers, that in the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant us strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through every temptation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
A woman went into her doctor's office, and there she was seen by one of the new doctors. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming and ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped her and asked what the problem was, and she explained. He had her sit down and relax in another room. The older doctor marched back to the first doctor and demanded, "What's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry is 63 years old. She has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant." The new doctor smiled smugly as he continued to write on his clipboard. "Cured her hiccups, though, didn't it?" Healing is a big theme and topic in the Christian life, and yet in many churches, it's barely touched on. Now, some people are scared to talk about it, and some just choose to ignore it altogether. But we must talk about it. Our God is a God who heals. He is a God who heals, and he heals because that's who he is, the healer. He heals because he loves us. He heals because we need it, oh, so badly. As sinners, we are broken and we are bruised. We are marred with scars and wounds on the battlefield of this life. Every aspect of us needs healing, mind, body, and spirit. And when we speak of healing, we are talking about encountering the awesome, sheer power of God, of him breaking into our lives to bring restoration and peace and joy, of once again him bringing the life of heaven to us. And this morning, we are looking at the healing power of the three streams: Scripture, the Spirit, and the sacraments. For these three streams form one river that we are called and meant to swim in, and we are to be nourished and equipped by them. Not one stream, not two, but all three together flowing as one river. And as we look at each of these three streams, we see that God has offered us his life-giving word. We see that God has offered us his life-giving spirit. And we see that God has offered us his life-giving sacraments. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, life, life, and more life. An absolute abundance of life. Such is the healing power in the streams. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, found on page 119. First, there is a healing power found in Scripture, God's Word. With our Old Testament passage, we find ourselves right before the people of Israel are about to cross into the Promised Land. Moses is giving his swan song, the entire book of Deuteronomy, his great sermon, and you can bet that there's some anxiety about Moses not going with the people to take possession of the land. This entire generation has grown up in the wilderness, for the people who came up out of Egypt have died off, except for Joshua and Caleb. Yet the people have heard God's word through Moses. Many, many years. They had seen the mighty acts of God repeatedly, but in our text today, God promises a new prophet like Moses will one day come among the people. Now, Israel had a long succession of prophets, but the text reveals a prophet like Moses would one day come onto the scene, and that the people of Israel are warned that they must listen to him. They must hear the word of God from this prophet, and many did listen. Many did, but oh, so many did not. The long succession of the prophets was about the word of life, the word made flesh that dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. In fact, all of the Old Testament is about Jesus. Did you know that? So much so that when Jesus, after his resurrection, is walking down the Emmaus Road with two of the disciples, Luke says this in Luke 24, 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus seems to think that the entire Old Testament is all about him. Peter, in Acts 3:18 and 3:24, also verifies this. God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ should suffer on the hardwood of the cross, and that all the prophets from Samuel and those who came afterwards proclaimed these days the days of the Spirit. So all of Scripture is about Jesus and points to Jesus. And God's Word has a healing power because it is life-giving. Therefore, we go to it when we are sad, when we are depressed, when we are anxious. We go to it when we need peace. We go to it when we need guidance. We go to it when we need comfort. We go to it when we need hope. How many of us have prayed that God would send us a fresh word for a circumstance that we're facing, and we open the Bible at random, and we point, and we look down, and we look for a verse? How many of us have done that? How many of us have been that desperate? Nikki Gumbel shares a story about a man that desperate. And he did precisely what I just described. And he came to Matthew 27, verse 5, which says, "Then Judas went and hanged himself." So he thought, "Oh dear, I better try this again." And he went to Luke 10, 37, which says, "Go and do likewise." Getting a little more anxious, he thought, "Oh dear." So he went to John 13, 27, which reads, "What you're about to do, do quickly." Although not the best way to read the Bible, it illustrates a powerful point. We are desperate, desperate for an encounter with God through his word. Which means we know that God's word is not only life-giving, but it is also authoritative for how we should live our lives. You see, there's a connection between the healing, life-giving power of God's word and its authority over us. This brings us to our gospel passage this morning. Because you would expect the incarnate word, the word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, to teach and to preach with authority. And not just any authority, but Mark notes real authority. Real authority. Quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Jesus was the prophet long foretold. The people were to listen to him, to hear him. But many turned away from him. We are not to be like those who came and heard but turned away. Our response is to be like Peter, the rock. "Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Are you trekking with me here? Okay. Jesus has come to give us life and life to the full. An absolute abundance of life. We are to abide in our Lord Jesus and in his life-giving word, the Holy Scriptures. Next, there is the healing power in the Spirit of the living God. Michael Luke shares a story about a wealthy businessman on his deathbed, and his pastor came to visit and talked about God's healing power, and he prayed for his parishioner. And when the pastor was done, the businessman said, "Pastor, if God heals me, I'll give the church $1 million. Miraculously, the businessman got better and within a few short weeks was out of the hospital. Several months later, the pastor bumped into this businessman on the sidewalk and said, "You know, when you were in the hospital dying, you promised to give the church $1 million if you got well. We haven't received it as of yet." The businessman replied, "Did I say that? I guess that shows how sick I really was." When we think about the power of the Spirit, most often people usually just jump and think about signs and wonders. And in doing this, many people put the Spirit in a box, as if the Spirit can only operate within these parameters. What about church planting? The Spirit is the Spirit of mission. He is the catalyst that propels men and women to have a burden for the lost and the least out in the world. You won't get very far in church planting without him. Trust me. I think I'd like to have something to offer on this very important point as an archdeacon. But as people follow the Spirit's lead in church planting, he uses men and women to bring the gospel message to new frontiers and to new people groups, to those who have not responded to the Lord Jesus in faith, hope, and love. Hopefully you see how awesome that truly is. The Spirit uses us, you and me, to bring the saving, healing message of Jesus out into the world. It's absolutely humbling. But we often don't think about it when we think about the Spirit. But we must. What about the fruit of the Spirit? We see the healing power of the Spirit in that each passing year, our hearts are conforming more and more to the image of Jesus, our Lord, and our Master. Day by day, the Spirit is tilling up the soil of our hearts and sowing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to talk about healing power? The Spirit never, ever, ever gives up on us. He never stops working on us, making us more and more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that we would have the heart and the mind of Christ. The heart and the mind of Christ. And yes, healing power is demonstrated in healing signs and wonders. In our gospel passage today, Jesus, the Spirit-endowed Messiah, silences the enemy. Jesus is teaching with authority, real authority, in the synagogue. And a man possessed by a demon shouts out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God." And what does Jesus do? He cuts him short. Says, "Be quiet, come out of the man." And at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. And the people marveled. They marveled at Jesus. Not only did he teach with authority, but yet he backed it up by casting out a demon. And so news about him spread throughout all the region of Galilee. Who is this guy? Who is he? But even though our gospel reading stops there this morning, we must not stop there. For the next several verses that follow speak of Jesus healing many, many people of various diseases, as well as casting out demons. And why is all of this important for chapter 1 in Mark's gospel? Because the kingdom of God has come near in Jesus. It is at hand. Everywhere Jesus is, there is the kingdom. And now the Spirit has been poured out on all those who believe in Jesus, the Messiah. Of course, there are some who say that stuff like that happened in the Bible, but it can't happen today. Have you heard this? Let me share my experience with you responding to that sort of skepticism. I saw my wife healed of ligaments that were torn in her body. One was her MCL and the other was her PCL, which is this ligament that really only sports people tear. But somehow my wife tore it. We didn't have the money for surgery. We were desperate and we cried out to God. So in the context of our family group, in our desperate nature, we laid hands on her. And when she went to the doctor, he was amazed. She was healed. Both ligaments. No surgery. No damage to our pocketbook either, thank God. How about my youngest son? When he was born, he was diagnosed with CPT deficiency. He had to be fed every 3 hours or he could die. He cried all the time because he was miserable. We cried all the time because he was miserable. He had 2 tests confirming the disorder, and we were beginning to talk to specialists in Austin about what this was going to mean for our lives and his. But we took him at the back of church one Sunday and anointed him with oil. And we prayed for his healing. And he was cured. He changed overnight from crying nonstop to being the happy little dude that he is today. And we knew he was healed before even the doctors confirmed it. We knew because we're his parents. But they had ordered an invasive test to be done on him, and when the results came back, not one shred of evidence remained for what he had. So I'm here to testify, personally, of the saving power and the healing power of Jesus. But that kind of stuff just happens to you, Scott. No, it most certainly does not. While I was writing this message this week, someone from our church came in and informed me that they were healed about a month ago. Here. You see, the Spirit heals people all the time. And he heals in various ways. Mind, body, and spirit. My question is, how big is your God? How big is he? We have a tendency to put God in a box, don't we? My God is mighty to save. And he continues to show me that again and again and again. And the healing power of the Spirit is continually working in us and among us. Not just individually, but as a people. Then there is the healing power of God in the sacraments. Studies have shown that more people are healed at Holy Communion than elsewhere. You see, there is a real presence of Christ Jesus at his table. And to take him into us by faith with thanksgiving is a really marvelous thing. There is a healing power in the Eucharist. When I was a music minister at a church long ago, when I had long flowing magical hair, some of you may remember me that way, there was a woman who struggled to walk, constant pain and discomfort. One day, she just came forth, received the bread and the wine, and she was healed instantly. It was incredible. It was incredible. Her life had been changed by the healing power of God in the sacrament. Before we come to the Lord's table, we as a community pray the prayer of humble access together. What is that prayer about? It is the cry of a people. The cry of a people desperate and hungry for an encounter with the living God. Our righteousness are as filthy rags before the Lord, and we are unworthy. And as the old prayer books say, there is no health in us. Get that. There is no health in us. But the Lamb of God, he is worthy, as it says in Revelation, which is one reason why we say the Agnus Dei immediately following the prayer of humble access. Because Jesus is worthy, and we need his mercy, and we need his peace. So what does it mean to be desperate for God's healing touch? For his powerful encounter. We see in the prayer of humble access this illustration about the crumbs under the table. And this brings us back to the story of the Syrophoenician woman who had a demon-possessed daughter, descended from a people that fought against Israel. What business did this woman have to pursue Jesus, the Lord? But she was desperate, you see. She was desperate for her daughter, and she knew her deep need for Christ. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Imagine the tears flowing down her face, the cry of a parent's heart for their child. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. And what is Jesus' response? Dear woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. Your request is granted. How desperate are you for the Lord? How hungry are you for an encounter with him? In Magdala, Israel, below this beautiful church that overlooks the Sea of Galilee, there is a small room with an amazing mural. And the mural is simply this. It's a woman's hand struggling to reach out to touch the fringe of Jesus' garment near his feet. Just shows her hand. All these feet and Jesus' feet. And she's struggling. She's struggling to reach out and just to touch the fringe of his garment. This is an artist's interpretation from the story of the woman who had the issue of blood, who had suffered for many, many, many years. But she was desperate, you see. Desperate, hungry for the Lord's healing power. She knew of her need for Jesus. She came expectant. She came hopeful. If I can just touch the fringe of his robe. In the sacraments, we know our deep need for the Lord Jesus. In baptism, we are plunged into his life, death, burial, and resurrection, immersed into mystical waters of rebirth and sealed with the sign of the cross. In communion, we remember Jesus' death upon the cross, and we anticipate his triumphant return. And as we say in the prayer of the humble access, we consume the sacrament that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, may be healed by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. You see, the sacraments speak of our deep need and our deep union with Jesus. They testify that Christ is in us and that we are in Christ. And there is healing power in them. There really is. How desperate are you for God this morning? With Scripture, the Spirit, and the sacraments, the Lord offers to you and me life upon life upon life. An absolute abundance of life. These are the waters that we are meant to swim in. And he heals us because he is good. And his love endures forever. The Lord will not withhold these waters from you and me. But are we desirous of them? Are we hungry for them? Are we desperate for more of the healing power of Scripture in our lives? Then what must we do? We must ask. We must seek. And we must knock. Our Father is so very, very generous to us. Are we desperate for more of the healing power of the Spirit in our lives? Again, ask, seek, and knock. He gives to those who ask. Are we desperate for more of the healing power of the sacraments in our lives? We will be asking, seeking, and knocking very, very shortly. May God give us each a greater passion to desire these things. And to truly press in. But we are not meant to just hold on to the joy and the blessings of these things for ourselves, although they are exceedingly wonderful. We are meant to go out beyond these walls, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, to share them with a broken world. A world so needing the healing power of God. Amen?
Amen.
A world desperate for life, life, and more life. By God's grace and in his power, we shall make known that absolute abundance of life. Let us pray. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.